right, Diane Hom, happy 4th of July. Thanks for coming in here, sitting down to chat.
Sure.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. It's been a couple months since I saw you.
It has been a while.
What? So the last time we actually sat down was March? Is that right? When was the...
I think so. I don't remember the date.
No, but it would have been with the county assembly.
Right. And I should remember that date.
Well, no. And I mean, that's, you know, today I want to talk to you about, obviously, politics. Oh, you know what? It's my bad. So first, let's have you introduce yourself, okay? So people watching, if they don't know, you know, who you are and what your role is in the community.
Okay. I'm Diane Hom, and I am the Kit Carson County Republican Chairman.
Perfect. Yeah. And so the last time that we were actually... together, very safe. We were safe. Was at the very beginning of when all the craziness started, right, with COVID and trying to figure out a way with moving target of regulations changing. You know, it was day by day. Hey, you could have, right. We were trying to find a way to have the election in a safe manner. And I just remember it was, you know, 1 week it would be like, okay, we can do this. You can have 10 people and you could have speakers be there. And then the next day it'd be like, okay, so no one can be around each other.
Right.
So it made it very challenging. But I mean, that came out, I think that, you know, that came out really well.
It did. And I appreciated your help a lot. Otherwise, well, yeah. I would have been totally lost.
No, but I mean, you know, and you looked at, I guess, based on other places in the state, did it end up that most of them kind of followed that? I mean, they did election. They did it online as well using Zoom. I remember that because Cory Gardner came on and talked to us. Mm-hmm. But then most of the other counties, not everyone adopted that.
No.
Some of them did like drive-bys.
Right. And some people just had drive-through voting and they didn't have speeches or anything. And others had email voting. And but I think what we did was really effective and it went really well.
Yeah, no, it turned out good. And then after that, there was obviously the state assembly, right? And right. They used that different platform. What was the name of the platform that they went with? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Caucus room, maybe that?
Oh, we have caucus room, and you can go in there. Yeah, so we had caucus room, but they did generally what we did. You know, it was like a Zoom meeting, and then we had text. They did the text voting, I think.
Right, and I just remember seeing that, and it went really well, too.
It did.
Because they didn't have any issues. I mean,
right.
Just goes to show you that, I mean, technology's, I guess, in my opinion, a double-edged sword these times, right? Because
right.
You, for the right reason, it can be a really great tool.
Right.
You know, and if we're going through something unprecedented like COVID, mm-hmm. people have found a way to become Zoom warriors and use it that you wouldn't even expect to.
Right, and that was where, you know, for the state assembly, it was nice to have our delegates know what to do because we had done Zoom and we had done... the voting that the way that we did.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were familiar with what to do and it wasn't so foreign for them. So that helped.
No, it did. And it's funny because even other, you know, if you run into somebody that's out here on the plains that doesn't like change in technology, maybe they have a flip phone.
Right.
Right. And they love that flip phone. Right. They're not going to a smartphone.
Right.
But then even some of those, you know, guys I've talked to, they're like, yeah, we're doing our board meetings on Zoom. I kind of like it. We don't have to travel. There's a lot of benefits. So
right.
I think that'll come out of this too.
And I think, you know, with our Zoom meeting, there were a lot of people there and we wouldn't have had that big of a turnout if it had been live, you know, if we'd have been all in person. But because everybody could be there on Zoom, it made a big difference.
Well, and I think the untold part of that and, you know, that maybe people watching this don't understand is how hard that was for you. And it's the first time I've had a chance to talk about it. We've been so busy through this crazy time that I wanted to maybe put a post, but hopefully if people are watching this, they understand how hard that was for you. Those couple of weeks,
the yes.
amount of work that you went in, you had this plan going and, oh, okay. So we got a plan. It looks like it's going to work.
Right.
Oh, can't do that.
Right.
Oh, got to go a different route. So again, right. I applaud you and everything you went through there because I know how stressful that was and how many hours you were putting into that, working on the weekends late at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that turned out really good.
It was a lot,
yeah.
But it was worth it because it went well in the
yeah,
end.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, that's a good segue into politics, right? I mean, it's a mm-hmm. crazy time right now.
Right. It is.
What, so, you know, fill us in. What are your thoughts? What's going on? I know the election yesterday, right? Today's Wednesday, the July 2nd. So happy 4th again.
Right.
But we just had the election. What was your take on all that? What do you think?
I think it went pretty well. I mean, we had a little over 2,000, which is, you know, maybe half of our voters showed up to vote for the primary.
Right.
And of course, you know, we really want to see more than half of the voters in Kit Carson County vote. Especially when it comes November,
mm-hmm.
you know, people need to get out and vote. That's the big thing.
Right. So and it was half of what the actual total could have been.
Right.
Right. Gotcha. What do you attribute that to? I mean, what is that different than it was last time? Or, I mean, what do you compare it to?
I'm not really sure. I know that sometimes it's a little less than half, and that's disappointing. So half, I thought, was you want to say pretty good, but at the same time, when you consider the times that we're living in and, you know, the people that you're electing are going to affect your life, and I think that people need to realize that. It's not just politics.
Yeah. These
people make decisions for your life.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And that's where, you know, when I look at it, well, only half of the people came to vote. You know, it's like, this is going to affect you. You need to, you know, you need to get informed and vote.
And it matters. I mean, elections have consequences, matter. And we always see that. I mean, even at a local level, national level, of course. I mean, Supreme Court level. And we were talking before we went on camera, but I don't know. I feel like since it's such a weird time, it's like time is slowed down, but it's also going fast, right? Mm-hmm. Like here we are. It's already July 4th.
Right. And when did that happen?
Yeah. Wow. Right. It's here. And then it feels like the last, so March, April, May, June, 4 or 5 months, we've been dealing with the pandemic. And I think it's had an effect in ways not of all, you know, we don't all understand. Like the time thing, like you wake up and you go, oh my gosh. So the national election is right around the corner.
Right.
I mean, it's only, and then, you know, state election, everything. It's what, 4 months away, I guess.
Right.
Is that right? July, August, September, October. So 4 months. Yeah.
4 months. And that seems like a long ways. It really isn't. And at the same time, you don't want to do a lot too early or people won't pay attention later.
Right.
Like the, we don't watch TV, but you know, the TV ads after a while, people don't want to see all of that. But,
yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Right. That's true that we'll get into ad season. That'll be interesting because mm-hmm. have you been following the stuff with a lot of the big companies pulling ads off of like Facebook?
Yeah. And right? I don't know if that's good or bad. I've heard both sides of that, you know.
It's interesting. I don't have a full grasp on it either, totally. I know that some people are frustrated probably with Facebook on ads, right? And I mm-hmm. think, you know, whether that's for President Trump or other people, and then they're pulling back. But then I did see this morning that Mark Zuckerberg said that he wasn't going to change anything for a little bit of revenue or for any amount of revenue. He said he's going to hold tight and those sponsors will be back. So kind of interesting to see.
I wonder what he means by that.
I don't know. I guess I'm confused.
I'm still going to pull all of the...
Well, yeah, and you know,
the what I call hate speech, which is if it doesn't agree with what I think, then I'm going to pull it. I mean, if that's what it is, that's not good. But if it's freedom of speech, which is what we all should have, whether you're, you know, Republican or Democrat, you should have your freedom to voice your opinion.
Absolutely.
And not feel like you're threatening each other. You know.
Yeah, if it's not threatening, and there's no violence, and you're just you're expressing your opinion, of course, and then. I think he had said at one point it wasn't his job to determine whether it was real or not. So I don't, that's where it gets gray, right?
Right.
I feel like it's so hard to determine what's real or not all anyways.
With anything. You know?
With anything.
Right.
Hence part of the reason we wanted to do Burlington on the Spot, to have something mm-hmm. local to talk about what's really going on locally. Not everything has to be a national spotlight. You know what I mean? With technology now, I mean, rural mm-hmm. communities could be doing it, getting their leaders out, talking about the issues facing us out here.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think we've got some really good leaders out here.
Oh, I do too. You know, but fascinating stories.
Right.
You know, and that's, so, I mean, we're going to hopefully continue to bring those to light.
I'm thinking, I'm glad we live in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Burlington is still America.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And then, so with these elections that are coming up, what's your role? I mean, is it going to be a lot of stuff for you going on over the next couple of months, or what's that going to look like?
It's different, too, with all of the restrictions, and you don't know what you're going to be allowed to do, you know, which is the board meeting tonight for the fair.
Right.
You know, to see, well, what are we going to be allowed to do? What can we do? You know, we didn't have our Lincoln Day dinner.
Right.
And so what are we going to do in the future? Are we going to be able to get together? Are we going to, you know, we'd like to. But you just don't know. It's like anything you plan, you've got to be ready to change those plans.
Which makes it really hard to
plan. It does.
Plan.
But I know, we will be busier, but it's just different now.
You just got to be ready to adapt and do whatever it takes to get through to the election. And
right.
Gotcha. So what are your thoughts on the election? As far as you could talk local, national, any takeaways at this point?
What I say is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Gotcha.
And that's where I think we are. Okay. If we want to keep our country.
Okay.
That's, you know, I really feel that that's important for our country and everywhere else is to, we've got to trust in God with all of this because we've strayed away. We really have as a nation.
Gotcha.
And I think President Trump has done a really good job at bringing Christianity and our morals, what our country was founded on, to the forefront. And I think that's very important if we want to keep any semblance of a country that we've known.
Yeah. And I guess on a more like a level of the battle that we're facing, mm-hmm. you know, or the battle that's coming up with these elections. Right. I mean, Colorado is such a diverse state now. Right. And I'm a native. I grew up there, but I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I remember growing up, I think it was probably predominantly Republican growing mm-hmm. up. Now it's probably swung the opposite direction, but then you have your cities and then you have your rural areas, you know, on both in the Eastern Plains and out on the Western Slope. And so there's always going to be a divergence of ideas and goals and things that are people going for. So this election is important and correct me if I'm wrong on this stuff. Right. But so we're going to have Gardner versus Hickenlooper.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you think Hickenlooper was going to be the one that got that?
Oh, I wasn't surprised.
Right, against Romanoff, right. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you think that's, any thoughts on that election? Just going to be a tough one? I mean, a tough battle, or what do you think?
I think it'll be a tough battle, but I think if we stand behind Cory, you know, that he will win. He's done a good job. He's done a lot of good things for our nation and for our state in working with President Trump. And, you know, I'm supportive of him. And trust his judgment. And I know, you know, some people think, well, he doesn't come out here. Well, you know, his whole vision is a lot bigger, and he's working with the whole country.
Yeah.
And not that he doesn't care about us out here. He does.
Well, and I mean, I would imagine, too, the restrictions right now on travel and safety and everything, that's pretty challenging. I mean, it's not like you're going to be able to do a good road show.
Right.
I mean, right? You can't, you know, I mean, they're going to frown upon taking a bus, doing a tour or whatever you might normally do.
Right. You know. But we did have a Zoom meeting with him not too long ago, and I thought, you know, that was really good.
Yeah. How did that go? What were you guys talking about there? Just getting pumped up for the election? Mm-hmm.
With Cory. Yeah, with Senator Gardner.
Okay.
Yeah. Were you there?
I don't think did I was you? On that. No.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that went really well.
There big were takeaways from that, or was it just everyone was excited?
Everybody was excited, and the questions that they asked, he was able to answer. He had good answers, and I think he does a lot more than what we realize, you know, for our country and for us and, you know, with the conservative voice.
Yeah.
You know, and he was instrumental in is it Space Force.
Yeah.
And getting that to Colorado.
Yeah.
And I know in the beginning I thought, well, that just sounds like the Jetsons, you know. But it's a good thing. You know, the world goes on.
No, it is. And I mean, that's going to be more, it's a whole nother branch, right, of the military now.
Right.
And that's something you look back, I mean, in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that when it split off, I don't know the exact history of when it split off into the different branches, right? But I mean, that'll mm-hmm. be an important branch. I mean, space, you see what's going on right now. Right. I mean, that's probably a pretty big deal.
Right. And I think, you know, we need to be ahead of, we can't be the followers. We've got to be the leaders.
Yeah. So I didn't know that he was instrumental in that mm-hmm. Space Force. Wow. Yeah. And in that, I know that we are, isn't the headquarters down in Colorado Springs for mm-hmm. that too?
Yeah.
So that's going to bring careers and jobs and all kinds of stuff out of that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, that is good to know. So as far as the elections coming up, ads and everything, do you think it's going to be normal as compared to like previous elections? Or do you feel like, I guess my question is I've seen social media change so many things, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm wondering, you know, if they're holding those ads back on Facebook, are you big on Facebook at all? I mean, do you ever see that?
I haven't seen a whole lot
of ads lately.
And I didn't know if that was because of Mark, you know, Zuckerberg saying, I'm going to hold back on this for a while. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's really confusing. I mean, one thing I did see is I know that on a page that was on there, I saw that a message came across that there was no longer political pages.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look into that, but I saw an ad that said that Facebook is removing the election pages. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, Mary Kate, maybe you can Google that and see, just see if it's on there.
Wow, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw that come across, it was either yesterday or the day before. So, and it just feels like so much is driven now on social media, especially, right. Are you on Twitter at all?
No, but I just joined Parler.
Yeah. Parler is getting big. I mean, it has moved across. It's definitely, I saw a lot of conservatives have moved across from mm-hmm. there. The last number I saw was it had grown to 1.5 million mm-hmm. as of yesterday. I mean,
I hadn't heard of it at all. And the end of last week, I think it was, my son told me about it.
Yep.
And then a friend of mine asked me, are you going to join? And, yeah. You know, just like overnight.
It picked up
well,
a
lot.
I think what happened mm-hmm. is there were on Twitter, there have been a couple of people that have, and I'm not, I don't know the exact names, but there's been a couple of people that were pretty, even moderate, maybe some conservatives that have been, you know, banned or suspended.
Right. Well, and we heard, you know, President Trump might be banned from Twitter. Man, I don't know if that's true or
I
not.
I can't imagine that. I mean, how would you ever, I know for the first time ever, one of his tweets, you know, obviously he tweets a lot. One of his tweets right. got, when they first like changed rules or something a couple of weeks ago, one of his tweets got marked as possibly like not true or inaccurate or something. It was, so I don't know, but I couldn't imagine banning. How could you ban? That's the problem, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that almost is a channel. It's like the news. It's like the FCC.
Right.
I mean, and I know that people are making that argument. Is it public communication? Can they choose who to ban? But I couldn't imagine something that's communication for public everywhere that you could take the president of the United States either way,
mm-hmm.
right? President Trump, President Obama,
right.
Whoever it would be, Hillary Clinton. I mean, I can't imagine, and I'm certainly not for that. I mean,
right.
You have to let them stay on. So I can't imagine that would ever happen. But never say never, right?
We've seen a lot of things in the last few months we never thought we'd see.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, freedom and not having the freedom and, you know, whether it was a good idea or not, it was how it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and everything's, you know, you can look back, right, and look at decisions, and
right.
I think everyone was trying to make the best decisions right. without pointing fingers, you know.
Right.
We're where we are now, mm-hmm. and I mean, as far as I know, it looks like testing's getting, there are more tests going out.
Right.
So it seems like the numbers are rising, but then I look at hospitalizations and ICU and fatalities, and that seems to be dropping.
Right.
So, and again, you just, you know, it's hard to tell, right? Because you see one article and you're like, oh, okay, good. And then right. I see another one that completely goes the opposite.
Exactly.
Truth. And when I'm on Twitter, I try and follow everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I try and follow as many people that you would consider to be on the left
right.
as are on the right. Because mm-hmm. I just don't feel like you can get a good idea of what's going on if you're only following one side.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether I disagree with either of those,
right.
you know, I'm trying to follow it, but that makes it even harder, I think.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because then you're seeing these completely conflicting stories.
Exactly. And you don't have a clue. Like, well, because the one side thinks theirs is the true story and the other side says, no, ours is the true story. And
right.
what do you believe?
Well, and I think that's part of the problem that journalists are facing, you know, mm-hmm. that and obviously digital media made it really hard for traditional journalism to continue thriving. So they're battling revenue, laying mm-hmm. people off right and left, you know,
right.
and then they're on Twitter and that's their voice. And then, so what are you going to do? I mean, you have an audience. You're not going to like whether you, I mean, your vested interest is you're worried about your family and you're making
right.
your money. Right. And so you're going to have like, okay, let's say somebody like, I'll throw somebody out, Chuck Todd, right. on Meet the Press. So that's probably not something that you've watched much of.
No.
So I have, you know, uh-huh. and I, let's pretend that Chuck Todd, right, very left, I think, he even thinks that maybe he disagrees with what he's saying, truthfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't matter. I mean,
right.
he's not going to change. How is he going to change sides? So what he knows who his audience is.
Right,
and
exactly.
as soon as journalism goes from being accountable, telling truth, facts, not always perfect, I'm sure it never was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as it goes from that to sensationalism and we have celebrities, right? Ooh, I'm on CNN. I'm on Fox News. I'm a celebrity. You know, that's where I think then you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get truth, because then you're it's all about greed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're at. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I think we're trying to figure it out. Maybe it is going to be more local news. Mm-hmm. You know, more people standing up, raising their hand locally that are saying, hey, this is the truth. This is what's going on here. I don't know over
right,
there.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it is. It's tough to figure all that out. So 4th of July is coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share a little bit about being a Gold Star mother with us and just talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Okay.
So where should I start?
Wherever you feel comfortable starting.
Okay. Well, you know, the 4th of July, of course, is celebration of our independence.
Yeah.
And even growing up, I just grew up being patriotic. I don't know. It's just how it was. But once Caleb joined the military, it became very personal. And when Caleb sacrificed his life for our freedom, now it's even more personal. And it's a celebration, but it's also a time that I think is a time for reflection of our country, where it started, and all of the sacrifices that have been given for us to be able to do what we do.
Right, like our freedoms. Our freedom.
Mm-hmm. So it is. It's a, you know, I know there's, you know, Memorial Day has a different, you know, different reflection, but the 4th of July is like, wow, you know, we have a tremendous country that we live in, and how blessed are we to be able to live here. And all of the people throughout the ages who were willing to sacrifice, you know, right, everything, you know, from way back in the 1700s, and, you know, everything that they went through. And, you know, our freedom isn't free. It does come at a price, and there is responsibility that goes with this. And so I feel like, you know, this year it's kind of mixed.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great celebration, but at the same time, when you see the defacing of the statues and taking down of some of our history and the rioting, it's sad.
Right.
It's very sad, because I feel like there's, you know, the justice of the beginnings of our country have been taken away, or maybe they weren't taught. But I feel like, you know, with all of the problems that this country may have, it's still the best country in the world to live in.
Couldn't say it better. And I mean, for me, I'm noticing that this 4th definitely feels a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of the state we're in. Right. I mean, it's always a great holiday. I mean, we're celebrating our independence.
Right.
And I still think it is being taught, because, you know, I mean, I have a 7-year-old.
Right.
And he knows all kinds of facts about our independence, about Declaration of Independence. So I know he's picking that up from different places, obviously, but still, even in school.
Good.
And find it. It's gravitating towards him.
Mm-hmm.
So he still is getting that. But I mean, in the past, you know, we always had that celebration, but it was always a great holiday in the summer, right? You think of just summer and
right,
America and fun and family and everything. And this year it's like a little different tone, mm-hmm, I think, because of where we're at,
right,
with the Antifa, I guess, right? And some of these right, other, you know, people taking over cities.
Right.
Like CHOP in Seattle. And so it's making you think about and appreciate the independence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking down statues. I mean, like you said, I mean, that's our history.
Right.
And I'm just not sure, you know, I am sure that that's not the right way to go about it. I mean, in my opinion, you know, I mean, and it's a tough situation, because I get what people are saying, you know, mm-hmm, on both sides that, but I mean, these, like, okay, George Washington, right? I mean, Christopher Columbus.
Right.
These are statues, and maybe we disagree and we learn from that, and people can have an opinion, but I just don't think ripping things down is right, the right way to go. Especially, okay, so, like, you know, you think about all the people that have fought and for the country, and people that have lost their lives,
mm-hmm,
for this country. And I think that's the piece that gets missed, right? And
right,
I mean, as a Gold Star mom, that's the piece that you're always thinking about.
Right.
That somebody, wherever they're at, any city, they're grilling or whatever, and it hasn't touched them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's the message you probably want people to realize, is that sacrifice is real.
Right, it is. And there are people all across, well, all around the world, but here in the United States, you know, we live this every day. You know, every day, that's our life, is remembering that our children sacrificed their lives. And so when you see people burning the flag and, you know, hate in America, it's like, you're hating my son. You're hating the sacrifice that was given for you to have the freedom to live in this country. Whether you don't like it, you don't have to be here. But,
right.
You know, I think they're just, I don't understand that.
Well, and I think the crazy thing is a lot of times they don't understand that the only reason they're allowed to voice these opinions or burn a flag,
right,
or protest First right. Amendment, it's this country that allows that.
That's right. If they were in another country.
Such a weird piece to it, yeah. Right? It's like if you were go try and do this over in the Middle East and see what
right.
would happen.
Right. Yeah, you would
or
be
China.
Able to.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess that's a piece that I sometimes disconnect on. I don't understand that.
Right.
You know, because I, like you, love this country. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be a great country for my kids.
Right.
Growing
and
that's up.
It.
That's the piece that I'm seeing, you know. Where do you think this is all going? I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, do you think there's, I mean, that's a big question. I get it. But I mean, do you have hope?
I do. I have hope because I think there are more patriots out here than the mainstream media wants to give recognition to. You know, we see all the bad stuff that's going on. We see the riots. We see these things. And those are real. I understand that. But there are also the good people. There are the Americans. There are the, you know, the bikers.
Right, sure.
There are the veterans. There are so many people that I know personally that are serving right now, and all of the families that I know right now. You know, there are a lot of patriots in America.
Yeah, and that is a good piece. Mm-hmm. It's good to know that. That does give you hope. And I'm glad to hear you say that because that gives me hope. I've heard you talk a lot about that, you know, with the recon group, that they're all, you know, you're the mom, right?
Right.
I mean, so talk a little bit about that. I mean, do you have a couple special memories? I mean, like, I'd love to hear about the statue being unveiled, right?
Right.
And then just, I mean, I know you've gone out to Hawaii, I believe, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
To meet with the recon group. I mean, I want, you know, is there some uplifting stories that you have from that, from those experiences?
Oh, definitely. First of all, the recon community is a very small community of Special Forces in the Marines, and they're a very tight-knit community, and their motto is never above you, never below you, always beside you.
Oh, that's cool.
And they are always beside you, and I have seen that. I mean, Caleb's been gone 7 years, and I get texts from them, you know, this week, yesterday,
I bet, especially.
Today, and
that's awesome.
And they mean that, you know, they're always there for you. And that has meant the world to me to know that these guys to me all have a piece of Caleb. You know, you've got to be a special, if you're in Special Forces, there's just a special kind of person that can do that.
Yep, and a special bond.
And there's a very special bond. And some of them have started calling me Recon Mom, you know, and I work with the Gold Star families, with the Recon Foundation. If there is somebody in Recon who's killed, and or, you know, however they go, if it's suicide, doesn't matter. I'm there for the family to talk to them. And I feel real blessed to be able to do that because I can identify with where they are and to help them through it. And so, you know, with some of the siblings who've lost their brothers, or, you know, I'm a recon mom. And with the guys, too. You know, one of the guys that we went to Hawaii with last year, is a couple of them, actually, their mothers had passed away.
Oh, wow.
So I'm their recon mom. And I just feel like Caleb left me with some really great people.
That is awesome.
And
is there a way to support this that you want people to know about? If people are watching this, is there a way, like, you know, obviously this is going to air next week, so after
right.
the 4th, but that's okay. I mean, is there a website to go to where they yeah. can donate, or is there something that would help?
Yeah, the Recon Foundation.
Okay.
And they are an upstanding foundation, you know, and they help families. And there was a guy one time, this is just, you know, one of the stories, and he was disabled. And, you know, if he needed some help, well, okay, we'll help you. And so we've got the resources to send them some money or to send them what they need to help them through. And that's what it's about, is helping the recon family, you know, and their children. There was a young guy whose dad was killed, and he was younger. But the dad had, I forget if it was a Bronco or a Blazer, one of those.
Sure.
And it had been in storage. So the recon guys got together and had it refinished.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
So this young guy turned 16, and his mom told him that they had to sell it because he was like, well, where's the vehicle? Where's Dad's vehicle?
I gotcha.
And she's like, well, we don't have it anymore.
So it could disappear for a while they did the work on it? Oh, man, how awesome is that?
So for his 16th birthday, they unveiled it, and, you know, it's things like that that they do, and they're there for you. And last year, you know, they raised funds to send 6 families to Hawaii. The Paul Mitchell Estate gave the Recon Foundation use of the estate for a week, started last year, you know, 1 week of the year. They can use it for whatever they want. And they decided they would use it for the Recon Gold Star families.
Oh, that's special.
So they flew us out. I mean, I just had never experienced anything like this. And at first I was like, you guys don't have to do that. But to them it was, this is very small, what we can do for the sacrifice of your son.
Right.
And so if you looked at it that way, well, I was like, because absolutely. Of Caleb, we were able to do that. And we were able to meet other families. You know, it was parents and a wife and sisters and, you know, you just have that bond, and I'm sure you know what that is when you meet somebody that you have something in common with.
Sure.
Especially, you know, with a great loss.
Yep.
You have a special bond that you couldn't have any other way.
Yeah.
And you're just family.
Yeah, and I mean, it truly is family.
Right.
It's a different feeling.
Yep.
And that's good, and so you keep in contact with a core group of moms and just family members. Yep. How do you guys communicate? Is it like on Facebook, or is it just like... You have meetups or?
On Facebook, and we actually started a text when we left Hawaii. And so
a group text.
So we still go back to that group text, and, you know, we'll get on there sometimes. Or
that's neat.
It is. And I know, you know, we were there for a week, but you'd still, like, I wish we could go back again.
Well, I'm sure
have another reunion.
Yeah, I mean, well, because when you're around other people, you know, going through that or that have been through similar circumstances or similar loss,
right,
in person, in a group, it's a big deal.
Right. And this year, we'll see how it goes, but they're supposed to meet the new families that are going to Hawaii. We'll meet in California. You know, if this all works out, it'll be towards the end of August, and then they'll go on to Hawaii, and they'll go to California for the Recon Challenge, which is where the Recon guys carry the name of the fallen.
Okay.
And they do a 26-mile grueling workout, running, climbing, swimming, shooting, carrying logs. I mean, they just do all this stuff for 26 miles and carrying their ruck. And so these families will be there before they go to Hawaii, and that'll be really special. And this year they were supposed to unveil the sculpture that they're doing of Caleb, and it'll be to represent all of the fallen Recon through the years, and it'll be called the Fallen Warrior. But they chose Caleb to be.
How did that choice come about?
It had to go through, you know, different channels, and
that is really, what an honor.
Mm-hmm, it really, I mean,
that is a neat. So that's at Camp Pendleton, is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when is that actually, do you know when that's going to be unveiled, when it's going to happen, or?
Well, now we're looking at next year.
Okay.
Because of, you know, the virus and all the restrictions that came up that kind of set it back, because they were supposed to unveil it this year. But the guy who's in charge is Chris May, and he said they should be able to have a smaller replica, which will be, you know, 3 or 4 feet tall of this smaller sculpture of Caleb, so...
And in the one that'll be final next year,
right,
which makes sense.
Right.
You know? I mean, hopefully we're through all this, and in that way you can be there in person and shoot, you know, it'll be a big deal, obviously,
right.
A huge honor, like I said. Okay, up on the screen, Recon Challenge, right? Is that, there it is.
Yeah, and Caleb was actually in one, I forget what year it was, 2008?
He probably won it.
Or
came close, man. I've seen, you know, over at Shaw Fitness, you
know,
I mean, I saw that regiment, like, and I named after him.
Yep.
Or that routine, and that's a little bit to, you know,
to bite off. They had been in Afghanistan, and when he came back, one of his, you know, fellow recon guys said, hey, I signed you and Mark up for the challenge. You know, and They just got back from Afghanistan. So they're like, okay, all right, we'll do it. And they came in second.
Whoa. So, right after getting back, huh? How, that is awesome. Well, that's good. You know, and I mean, you know, it's too bad it's not right now, but it'll be here hopefully before we know it, you know, and then you get to see. And then is that going to be like a life size? Is that how big the one that, because you said that the one that they're unveiling, that's like a big statue. Right.
It'll be a 7 foot tall.
7 foot. That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's, you know, it's very humbling. I mean, as a parent, you don't want, it's not supposed to go like this.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to outlive your child.
No.
But to see the legacy of your child is very humbling.
Well, and I think it's an important message, and I'm glad that you were willing to talk about it, because people watching this, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things that until you have that loss, you just, you hear about it and it doesn't seem real. I mean, it doesn't hit home, right? And until, so it's important for people to hear this message, what it's actually like. What do these flags stand for? What is the fourth? It's not just barbecues and car shows and beer, right? I mean, you know, I mean, that's great, but I mean, it's really, it's about our country.
Exactly.
You know, and the independence and then loss. Mm-hmm. And we're in a weird time now, you know? Yeah. And I mean, you just think about, we haven't had a draft for a really long time, right. You know? But I mean, you start thinking about, we don't know where we're going, I guess is what I'm saying with things. So it's just important to realize the real sacrifice that families make, and anyone in the military, for that matter.
Right, exactly. They're making it every day, the guys who are serving right now.
Right.
And, you know,
that are overseas. They're in tough situations. And, I mean, we owe that to them. They're out protecting us.
Yes, they are. And the freedom that we have.
That's right.
Is in the balance right now. And it isn't free. And we've got to be willing to stand for that.
I agree. And, I really appreciate you talking about that. To kind of just, I guess, last thing I wanted to kind of just delve into is, do you know who Tucker Carlson is, right?
I do. I haven't listened to him a lot. I've got a lot back up to catch up on.
I mean, and I, you know, we're busy, so we don't get a lot of news, but sometimes I'll peek in and watch him. And then I try and watch both sides.
Right.
That's why I mentioned Chuck Todd. So, and I knew you weren't watching that. But over the last week, he's been on quite a bit on Fox News, really lambasting, I would say, Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He's been saying, hey, look, you guys, with what's going on right now, we've got the election coming up, local, national, it's a big deal. We need you to step up.
That's right.
We need you to step up. And, you know, he's trying to be the voice that's saying and fight for why you were elected.
Exactly.
Do you feel like the Republican Party, I mean, it sounds like you feel like Cory Gardner's doing that, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Ken Buck? And then those are the voices in state that the Republican Party needs to hear from to be leaders.
Right.
So Tucker has a point with that right now? Are you feeling that way at all? I mean, and it might not be in Colorado, right? It could be other places.
Right. It's not about politics. It's about our freedom.
Right.
It's about the Constitution and following the Constitution and what it says, not watering it down and, you know, compromising. I don't feel like we can do that anymore. We're going to lose.
Right. I gotcha. And then I see that, you know, I mean, I definitely know some of the seats or the races that Trump's been endorsing. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't have exact numbers, but a few of those have lost.
Right.
To some other, I mean, I know that there was up in the mountains, right?
Yeah, and I can't think of her name.
Laura, I think, maybe we could look that up. She has a saloon. And she's a
rifle or something.
She's a pistol packing mama.
Right.
I think that's what I saw. I don't think we're going to have issues with the Second Amendment anytime soon with what's been going on. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. It. You know, it can't be plain politics anymore. It just can't. That's why we have Donald Trump in office.
Right. Well, and I think she, you know, I think you're going to see more of that, whether you agree or disagree, with her policies or whatnot. Right. I mean, I just think that on the Republican side, at least, you're going to see more more people saying, look, our voice needs, we can't just fall in line and do the same old thing and go up to Congress and become a lobbyist and just, I mean, I feel like
and
this
play
is,
politics
and
for
play
the
politics
money,
exactly,
you know, and the good old guys and
I
special interest groups. No, we can't do that anymore.
You know, then the other thing I think that we hear about, but man, it would be awesome, is term limits. If there is a way, because I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I feel like there should be term limits like on almost every position.
Right. I think Nancy Pelosi's been there way too long.
Well, I think it's on both sides.
And other people too.
Oh, yeah. There we are. Not Lauren. Just... I was close. Lauren Boebert.
Right.
I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But
yep.
Fully loaded campaign. And so Scott, he was like four terms, right? I mean.
I think so. I'm not really sure, but.
Well, and I think what got her to brought to light was the fact, the story I first saw her was her restaurant had a variance, I think, or she was allowed to be out there. It was one of the mountain counties, right? And then the other mountain county got their variance approved and they were all open and they didn't. Right. I think it's up by Glenwood Springs maybe. But she had opened it up outside and they still shut her down. And that's where I heard about her. And I think that was a platform that almost launched her into a national spotlight. So I think there'll be more of those.
Right. I think so too.
Because I think people are getting fed up with somebody, whether it's right or left, right? Trying to be apolitical with term limits. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be. So now Lauren or AOC, right?
Right.
They shouldn't go and have a lifelong 70-year career now.
Right.
In politics. Right. That's my take.
Yeah, I agree.
Go for a while, do your job, learn, come back, be a business person, be a family, be a teacher, educator, whatever. And then maybe run again later in a different position. But where do you think that'll ever happen? What would it take to get term limits? I guess that's a good question, right? I mean, because we don't, you hear some people talk about it a little bit, but man, that would just, I feel like that would make such a difference. Because I feel like that's the founding fathers. We're talking about the fourth.
Right.
That was the whole thought process behind it, right? Mm-hmm. You had people that were citizens come and do their job. Right. You know, like make a sacrifice and you should be paid for that something, I think, because you're leaving your family or whatever, you know, to go to Congress. And then you do that for one term, two terms, whatever, and then you're out. Then the next person comes in.
Right.
I mean, I can't be that hard to get back to that. I wouldn't think. I mean, maybe it must be. Right. So
right
but,
now,
you know,
but,
I'll have to dig
know,
into
but
that.
But it may or, change, you know. Right. I don't know, but. I think that would be a good idea.
You need to get a constitutional attorney in here or something.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, I just
feel
like it would.
And I think for both sides, you know, for any party, not just the Republican or the Democrat, but any party, you should have term limits.
No, I agree across the board. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I really appreciate you coming in, sitting down. Any last thoughts that you want folks to know with the season coming up with voting? I mean, just get the vote out. I mean, I guess that's the most important thing.
Right.
Or just, I mean, anything that you want to convey to the Republican Party in Kit Carson County or?
To get the vote out.
Try and make sure everyone's voting.
Make sure that everybody's voting. Talk to your neighbors. You know, and that's the thing is people have thought for so long, well, my vote doesn't matter. It does matter, especially now.
Right.
So if you've never voted, you need to vote now.
Okay, so one last piece that made me think of. What's your take on mail-in ballots? Because there's a difference, right, between mail-in ballots and absentee ballots.
Right.
Right? I mean, and in mail-in ballots, I mean, you hear, of course, again, it's both sides. Like one side wants it maybe now, but maybe not next time.
Well, in Colorado, it's a full mail-in state. And so the state of Colorado is a mail-in ballot state. And the way that our ballots, I mean, I go up to the courthouse here in Kit Carson County, and if you watch the process of how these mail-in ballots are handled, it's very effective.
Okay.
And
that's good to hear.
You can trust
it's being done right.
That's
so
right.
Where do you think then that President Trump or other people are so concerned about the fraud? Well, and I saw like a New Jersey race, I think, that they proved that like 20% of the ballots were fraudulent. I don't know, you know.
Right. And I guess it depends on their process. But I know that what we do here in Kit Carson County is a very tightly run ship.
Right.
And there is a lot of accountability and everything is checked and rechecked and rechecked. And, you know, if you ever get a chance to observe that, you know, it really puts you get a lot of faith in this process in this county.
Right.
You know, in this county, I can say that without a doubt because I've been a part of the process and I've watched the process and I've seen how it's grown. And it's just it would be really hard in our county because of all the work that they do.
Sorry, that was my phone.
No, that's cute. That's all right.
Yeah. But. So, well, that's good to hear then. Cause I mean, you know, I just pick up these snippets in the national news and they turn right. into talking points and, you know, so it's good to hear you say that.
There's a lot of training that goes right? on with the people that work the elections and, you know, you can do absentee ballots. You can, you know, if you're not here, like, you know, if you're out of the country and you're in the military, of course you're going to get you can get a mail-in ballot.
Sure.
Here in Kit Carson County, you can go to the courthouse and vote as well if you don't want to do the mail-in.
Gotcha.
So that is something in the state of Colorado that you, as far as I know, it's state of Colorado that you can do this. But I know in our county you can. If you have your ballot, your mail-in ballot, and you don't want to use it, you go to the courthouse and you can vote there.
Gotcha.
But you can't send in your mail-in ballot because there's going to be record that you have already voted. So the chance of fraud here is pretty low.
Well, then you would hope it would be that where, you know,
right.
that's a repeatable process. It's a process right. that every county should have.
Right.
So, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Anyway, in this county, I know how it's run.
Yeah. Other counties, we just don't know. Well,
but I think they are, you know, in the state of Colorado anyway, the process that is done here is, you know, it's really good.
Good.
And I think there are other states that have kind of gleaned from the process that is going on here.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for coming in. So
I'm going to pose a question to Diane.
Okay, we have a question coming in from Mary Kate, who you'll get to see soon on camera or here.
It might take a minute. You might not be able to hear me. I don't know if you can or not. Earlier, Diane was talking about patriotism. So I went ahead and just Googled the definition just because I thought, wow, that's a word we don't hear very often. Patriotism? And so what's interesting is there is a graph of the use over time for the word of patriotism, and it takes a sharp nosedive right around the turn of the 19th, right about the 1900s.
Can you put it up there?
Yeah, here, I'll show you. And so, Diane, the question I have for you, because you said you've been a lifelong patriot, and I believe that, what would you say to encourage patriotism today? Because obviously it's something we need. You can see in that graph right there that it's not a word we use a lot. So do you have any insights or ideas of how to, like, what do we need to do to bring back patriotism?
Learn about our history.
Yeah.
Learn our American history.
Yeah.
What it really means. The truth of our history and where we came from, how we started, how we got, you know, to where we are with the freedom that we do have.
Yeah, well, and you know, this is my take a little bit on this,
mm-hmm.
that you look at that graph, and Mary Kate brings up a really good point there, but, you know, since World War II, Vietnam, and you kind of look, I mean, we've had conflicts, for sure, can't make mm-hmm. light of those, but like a massive, we're having a draft. Your, you know, stories you're going to be telling your grandkids about your grandfather that went to World War II. We've had it pretty good over the right. last 50 years, right?
Yes,
I mean,
have.
Here. So we have yeah. generations of people that are removed from loss or from right. those stories, and those stories are getting further and removed.
Right.
Right? I mean, it wasn't their grandpa.
Right.
You know, that went and fought for freedom mm-hmm. against a known enemy trying to take away freedoms. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it too. And right. I think it's a battle of history. Right. I mean, you look at empires that fall. So,
right. And you know, to realize that what we have here is so fragile.
I think you know? This has made us realize. I mean, me at least, right? We you're under this illusion that it's all put together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to see.
Just overnight.
Overnight. What a pandemic. And, you know, and yeah, there's fingers to point on that across the board, right? Multiple mm-hmm. administrations potentially for that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then you see how quickly, you know, the economy can unravel, how interdependent we are on things that we might not realize.
Right.
We're offshoring pharmaceuticals that we might need, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, are our plans. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a thin thread.
Right.
And it makes you realize how important it is.
Yep.
I mean, how, you know, and I think it is being taught in schools. So I think, yeah, I think you're totally okay. right. And I think it's stuff like this. Being willing to sit down and spread a message, right, locally, and more people are doing it. I mean, they're going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So thank you for coming in and answering our questions and sharing like intimate story with us. Really appreciate it. And maybe we'd love to have you back, maybe right around election. season.
I would love to do that.
We're going to be doing one a week. So like maybe right before the November elections, we could have you come in and try and spread the...
Sure.
I'm sure that... Who knows what'll be going on by then, right?
Right. I'm sure I'll have a lot more stories.
You'll probably have some stories. And I mean, you know, who knows what'll be on fire or what you know, I mean, who knows? All right.
And I know for now, you know, we'll be having yard signs and, you know, banners.
I'm going to keep positive. I'm going to say that maybe we'll have walk-in normal elections. You never know. Right? I mean, you never know.
You never know.
All right. That didn't look like a strong endorsement. So we'll do our best, but thank you very much for coming in, Diane.
Sure. Thanks, Troy.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.